Well, you know, I'm going to start with a disclaimer. I'm not the expert in Carl Jung, and I wish I were an expert in Charles Fillmore. However, in my own spiritual evolution, I have relied on the teachings of Charles Fillmore and Carl Jung over and over again. And you know, we don't really think of the two of them as being like-minded, but indeed they are, because they have focused much of their lives, their studies, their research on journeys, inward journeys. And the journey that they have both come to, I want to say, embrace, is the journey of individuation. Now, you know, you've heard of Carl Jung, have you not? He's the Swiss psychoanalyst. He developed analytical psychology, and he was the, I want to say, the one person who said, we are all alike. Every culture is very much alike in the way we see things and understand things, in symbols and in archetypes and in each other. I mean, we know what a mother stands for in any language, right? So his way of moving in the world was to bring it home to the individual. And so that journey is called individuation. Now, Charles Fillmore went on to explain it more, and the early writers, Emily Cady, Myrtle Fillmore, did the same thing, that we are born the first half of life into our personality that we learn in our families. Now, let me see if we can bring up these. Oh, too fast. Okay. Let's see if I can bring it back. If not, you get a lovely picture. All right. Look. Okay. And so these two men have had not only an impact on me, but on our modern world, being Charles Fillmore's extensive writing, his intellectual prowess, as well as Carl Jung's the same. And we look at their work, it begins to unfold into journeys into consciousness, journeys into collective unconsciousness, as Carl Jung would say. Charles Fillmore would say, journey into the subconscious, or connecting with God mind in the superconscious mind. You see, all of these ways of looking at oneself begin to permeate different ways of studies. So in religion, spirituality, Charles Fillmore took it on and he read just everything that was put in front of him. And Carl Jung would travel throughout the world and investigate different cultures. There we are again. Beautiful, beautiful blue. All right. Team, would you take over with the slides? And so what I want you to understand is that the first half of life, both of them saw that we grow up with a mask. We don't really know ourselves. We do what our families want, for the most part. We don't rebel until those teenage years. We're shaped by our culture and our language, our ways of being. And so we don't really get the full impact of who we are until the second part of our life. And we hit it with, many say, a midlife crisis. Others have said just we grew out of doing what others expected of us, and we re-examine our lives, and we choose for ourselves, because that is the journey of individuation. That is the journey where you come to know yourself, and that self is sacred. That self is not making you crazy or change or consider yourself in any way deranged. You're finally waking up. Now, how many of you, you don't have to raise your hands, but just ask yourself, how many of you have had that spiritual awakening where you just say, I don't know why I ended up in that and that career, or why I chose that? We are going along, and it is an easier path. When we break through into individuation, do you think it is easy? Your family will not like it. You might not like it. And you might find yourself judging yourself, condemning yourself, arguing with yourself, because there is a self inside that is sacred. So we get into our personality as a sacred human. We move into our individuation as the I am. I may be making a big mistake by going into business with this partner, but I am called to do it, and I will take responsibility for it. There may be consequences, but this is your life. You are free to move and to have your being in your deepest desires, in your deepest self. So, are we good with the personality and the journey to individuation? You all know what we're talking about. Okay. So, if we think about our scripture, one verse that has stayed with me through my lifetime has been Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, your hope of glory. My daughter painted it for me on one of the beams in my previous office. Christ in me, my hope of glory. Now, does that indicate selfishness to you? Hubris, arrogance? Some might interpret it that way, but you see, the Christ is the higher part of ourselves that is always moving toward doing the best, the utmost in consideration and thoughtfulness and in health and well-being for self and others. So I wanted to look at how we can balance it. I can't even read that slide. Okay. So we can go to the next slide. And this, oh, no, we can't. We need to back up. Okay, let's look at this. This is a quote from Jung. The process of discovering one's authentic spiritual identity as divine in nature, sacred humans in a mystical connection with God as spirit, soul, and body. Charles Fillmore has a quote. The perfect unification and expression of humankind as spirit, soul, and body. Now, do you see the way those two minds are coming together. In humankind, there is this reconciliation, a unification, coming together in spirit and in soul and in body. Now, tell me where your soul is. Right. Good. Good answer. Because it is really this and more. It is really embracing that divine part of yourself, your human self, everything you know about yourself and others, and you're on a journey, and that soul is a consciousness that's guiding you toward it, if you're listening. If you're not listening, it's okay. You might not find your path until years later. That's all right. But the main thing is that you begin to see how spirituality and psychology begin to blend. Now, the disclaimer is really that no one has really written this down. And so I am speaking from my own personal experience. But teachers that I've had are showing this pathway more and more and more. So I believe that we're going to see how our worship, how our decisions and choices, how we pray, how we meditate, how we serve ourselves, our families, and our communities, it's all going to be based on self-knowledge, self-identity as divine, self-recognition. I can't do more than what I'm doing now at this situation in my life has come up, that we have wisdom and that our lives are just not decided for us, that we actually can choose our destiny. And that, you see, is something that we need to be reminded of. We forget, don't we? So in this marriage, we can go to the next slide. In this marriage of these two thinkers, spirituality and psychology, Jung wrote the book entitled Modern Man in Search of a Soul. Now that was 1933. World War II, World War I, all the changes, all the recognition, all the knowledge that everything we have can be swept away, but it is indeed time for us to bring together the psychotherapists and the clergy to join forces so that we begin to understand what's going on in us and the greater world. Now, those of you who've studied Charles Fillmore know that he was born on Chippewa tribal lands in Missouri. And his father was an Indian agent who left the house when Charles was around 4 years old, just a young boy. But the Chippewa Indians would come from time to time and take Charles to their tribal places and then bring him back several hours later. And they did this several times. So you can only speculate, maybe it was to visit with his father. Maybe it was simply to be with this child. Nevertheless, Charles grew up in this poor log cabin without the benefit of continuous schooling, and the fact that he broke his leg and it shriveled and it abscessed and he lost height and with the growth of his leg, about 3.5 inches. And once he turned into his prayer life, his meditation, he began to grow. His leg began to grow. And he understood his wholeness. And he had just watched Myrtle cure herself with the help of being in Spirit's presence within her. And she healed herself from tuberculosis. So all of this made this big impact on them. And the reason I'm talking about it is because it's the healing that brought this movement together. It is healing of body. It is healing of the soul, the spirit, understanding where is God in the midst of this situation. And the answer is right here. Right here. And so Charles wanted to check it out, and he said, I'm going to make sure for myself that this healing works, that we can attest to our wholeness and find balance again. Because if indeed it doesn't work, then the whole thing is a hoax. So he took it to headquarters. And our understanding of his life is that the wholeness that he talked about was to keep the balance, keep the life in us, to keep the journey that we're on one that is hopeful and inspirational. Now, Jung did pretty much the same thing. He grew up in a well-to-do family in Switzerland, born in 1875. But he was a sad young boy. He watched his parents in an unhappy marriage, and he watched his world of the church that his father was in as a minister. He watched it being empty of meaning. And so he began to do the introspection very much as Charles Fillmore did. Looking within, always looking within. And his mentor had been Freud, Sigmund Freud, but they broke when Carl Jung said, the divine is at play in our psyches. Unless we connect with that divine, we will not heal. We will simply cure ourselves. So both of these men have made wonderful contributions. They have helped us unveil the truth of what the Eastern philosophies have said for thousands of years, that the divine is at play in our lives and it is found within us. We can all experience it. So let's go to the next slide and see. So you and I want to focus then on the divine at play. And I like the word joy for our daily word, because to be spiritually and emotionally mature, we have got to connect with that deeper part of ourselves that sees the lightness as well as the darkness, and that we can balance both. So let's look at the next slide. What is it we need to learn? And again, those words are very, very small. We know how to actually confront ourselves. We know how to correct ourselves. We just need to do it and not just try to get away with something, because we can. Nobody would know. We can face difficulties and we can think, what is the best for everyone? Now, here's the benefit of community. we move out of our own wants and desires, and we see everyone as divine. It's a namaste vision, is it not? The divine in me sees the divine in you. And I want what's best for you as well as for me. That's how we begin to change our focus and individuate into the person that we really know we are deep down inside. That's called evolution. And the last thing is, and this is Jung's contribution, we can hold the tension of something going on that is disturbing us. And one polarity says it's right, and the other one says it's wrong, and we don't need to go there. We can see there's merit on both sides. We allow that everything comes up and forward, and we sit with it, and we know there's truth that will evolve. And we can just be a part of the situation without running away, hiding, or spiritually abdicating. We are responsible for our thoughts. We are responsible for our lives, not to say that we cannot have fun. So if we look at some of the things we do, some of the projections that we make on one another, we can say, that's a little judgy. Yes, it's something we do, but we can do less and less of that. And that's how we evolve. That's how we grow into the Christ consciousness. So this individuation journey is about incarnation. That means you are coming into the fullness of spirit right here, right within you. And you're thinking and you're acting and you're being from that place of the divine, the I am. Now, the first time I heard that, I just couldn't believe it. I just thought, that's way too much. I could never do that. But I do see more and more glimpses of that in me all the time. And I'm sure you do the same, where you just feel it. And you know the truth of what you've said or what you've done, and you can call upon it and know that there you are. You've said what you said, and you've stood your ground, and you know you are in the presence of the Lord. We say that, but the Lord is not there. The Lord is here. And that guidance is ours to rely on all the time. Now, I wish I had more time to talk about these wonderful men, their journeys, and share more of my journey with you. I just want to encourage you to look at your journey. Ask yourself, am I individuating, or am I people-pleasing, or am I going along, or I'm just taking the short way out? And when you ask yourself those questions, think of these great intellectual giants who have done so much for us and been led by spirit to do so. I do hope that this perspective gives you hope and inspiration. And I'd like to take us into meditation so that we have the opportunity to sit with this thought, these thoughts. I am that I am. I feel the joy of that statement. And I feel the responsibility of that statement. I am balance. I am wholeness. I am imperfect. I am forgiving. I am compassionate. And so as we go into the quiet and reflect on these words, this journey into our true identities, we do so with gratitude, with love for self and others, with understanding and forgiveness, and we listen as we do right now to Spirit speaking in you. This is the place of the Most High, the calmest place we can be. And so we live our lives in this place, and we know that we have come home. We can feel the joy each and every day on our journey, and we can say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, in me. Thank you, God, together. Thank you. Thank you, God, in me. And so it is. Amen.
Flow, Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your